And let us always be quick to depart from our own ways as you correct us and as you lead us and as you guide us, so that we can follow well after you. We bless you this morning. And everyone said, amen. Wow, thank you everyone for being here this morning, sharing this precious time in worship. Just want a special thanks to the serving teams here this morning. They are here very early. Some energy even goes in on Saturday or Friday to create the space, and then the band where they practice in their homes. Some people need to put the kids to bed first and then get to the instruments, but on a Sunday morning, it doesn't sound like that, amen? So what I want to do this morning is, I actually feel like I've got a little bit more of a prophetic word on my heart, and I trust that as we focus on this one text in Acts 16, it gives me the framework to kind of put into words what's on my heart. So pray with me. Lord, this morning we just come to you. And we say we are yours. We belong to you. Your ways is not our ways, but sometimes we prefer our own ways. Will you help us be humble before you and follow you well and experience the joy of your presence in our lives as the most precious thing in our lives? What if other things go wrong? It'll be okay. Because you are our chosen portion and our lot. And the lines have fallen for us in pleasant places. Yes, we have a beautiful inheritance. It's you. So open our hearts this morning to hear you and to follow well. Amen. Amen, everyone. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to go to Acts chapter 16, where the apostles go on quite a rapid journey. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in that chapter. Now, what we know is that in the book of Acts, we get 3,000 people being baptized just after Pentecost. Are you with me? 3,000 people. But what we also get in Acts as the book moves on is it shows to us and it lifts up the conversion of certain individuals. And it almost like gives us a glimpse in who some of these people are that gets encountered by the gospel. Instead of just saying, oh, and there was another 10 and there was another man. And sometimes it stops at a house of someone. And it says, yeah, we preach in this house. And then him and his family got baptized. And this chapter is a chapter like this. You see a lady, Lydia, coming to faith. You hear of the encounter of a demon-possessed girl who was like a fortune teller, a spirit of divination. We see a jailer that is astounded by the prison opens up, but the apostles, they don't run away. And so it moves rapidly, but it allows us to look into some of these individuals. And if you look, go and read Acts chapter 16. It's incredible chapter, because these people that are being touched by the gospel, they're different to one another. And I'm not going to get to all of them. I'm only going to focus on two. But what I'm trying to say, here's my not-so-hidden agenda, is that the gospel, even though it is one simple, intact message, it finds its way to reach the hearts of people who are quite different. All right? And that's what I'm after. How does the gospel work if it is simple and intact, but it works so well on different people? How is that even possible? And there's a few lessons for us in there that I want to land at the end, which I think is a prophetic word for us. So let's read together. Well, let me just say, T's and C's, you know what a caricature is, right, Vivian? You know, after the Springboks, normally after they win a World Cup, you'll get these images of them drawn. And if someone got kind of a big head, then the head on the picture is really big. Again, if they've got kind of big ears, then it's almost only ears with a little man. You know what I'm talking about. Now, sometimes it's funny to joke, but it communicates something. Now, in Scripture, we need to deal with that tension as well. For example, Paul would say, hey, I'm called for the Gentiles. I'm going after the Gentiles. But that doesn't mean he never ministers if a Jew should come over his way. No. It's just he knows he sets his sight. And Peter, the same with the Jews. And now what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to do a caricature of these characters. I almost want to look at how they are different because it helps us see different things. Okay, and so if I'm saying you are good at something, it doesn't mean you're not bad at all other things. Just allow us to move a little bit freer and see some of the extremes because it actually helps us show us our own blind spots. All right. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace and the following day to Neapolis. And there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, we remained in the city some days. Now, right off the bat, I mean, I'm not preaching even into that, but before we get to the first person, which heart would be open, we see movement. Oh, we set sail, we made a voyage the following day to this place. And so sometimes I find myself also thinking, you know, I'm going to live my life and pray for some opportunity to come my way. You know, and that's great because it readies you in and out of season. I mean, you're going to the school to pick up your kid, and then there's a divine appointment with another mom that really needed prayer. That's great, but we need to go beyond. We were setting sail. We were moving the next day. So what is the Lord also saying to you? How is he leading you? Don't only allow circumstances of the gospel to fall onto your life. Also take a few steps. You know, if you've got, I mean, we, for example, some of us were involved in an orphanage in Sandbay. If it's kind of on your heart, but it's been on your heart the last 10 years, you're going to get to the end of your journey and it's still only going to be kind of on your heart. Are you with me? At some stage, you need to set sail. You need to cancel some other things that's maybe not on your heart and go there. And the same is true with your heart for missions. I mean, please go support the Botswana gang. If it's on your heart, go next year. If you hear the Lord whisper, set the sail. Okay, sorry, I'm going off. But connect to it if you hear what I'm saying. Here you think I must pray for my family more. Yep, start tomorrow morning. Who's are you going to pray for? Write the name on the fridge. Set the sail, go. All right. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. Oh, the faithful woman. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of, you know, when you need to type in YouTube, how do you say Thyatira? Then you know there's a lot of names and stuff going on. A seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. More about her in a moment. Now the Lord opened her heart, there it is, to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us, and so we went. And as we were going to the place of prayer, now it's the next section. We're going again. You see, they're going again. We were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when the owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city." It then goes on to, after that magistrate, they got beaten, they got thrown into jail, and then you get the account of where they were singing and praising God in jail. Remember that? And then the jail was open, but they stayed. If they had escaped, the guard would have been killed. So what did they do? They stayed. And what happened to that man's heart? He's like, "I've never seen anything like this." So he also got saved. But we're not going to him this morning. A rapid chapter. There's a lot going down. And even though it is not the gospel being expounded like you'd find in the book of Romans, if you read between the lines, there's a lot going on in how the gospel opens heart. And that's where I want to land. Now, I want to talk about Lydia, the religious person. Lydia, the religious person. Now, it says about Lydia that she was a worshiper of God and she was a seller or merchant of purple goods. Now, firstly, an unideal place. Hey, we heard that somewhere there by the river, there's a place of prayer. Now, interesting, you could not have a Jewish synagogue if there was less than 10 men that can make up the synagogue. So it could be that these women had no synagogue to join, even if they had to be a little bit out of the center compared to the men back then. Or it might be that they just chose the river. But the fact of the matter is, there's a prayer meeting somewhere, Aaron's op die berg, outside the gate, they knew. And they find them there. It's an unideal place, number one. And the gospel goes to unideal places. Now, let me tell you something about this congregation. Who's been here less than 6 months around this? Why don't you be super welcome. It's awesome to have you here. I want to tell you something about this church. We try our best to make this not an unideal place, but an ideal place. We want you to be blessed when you come in. We want you to have a cup of coffee. That's why we pay about 20,000 rand a month on coffee, to bless you, make you feel at home, love you and care for you. That's why when a very expensive piece of music equipment breaks, we buy it. But you know what? Sometimes the place do not have to be ideal. Isn't that true? And it's not about the place, actually. The question is, if we had to meet in an unideal place, would you still come? You see, that's actually the test of the strength of a community. Isn't that true? Somewhere outside the gates on the mountain slope between Horsten and Fisherhaven, you know what? These women, they were there. And you know who else was there? The Spirit of God to work on the hearts of those who were open. And I'm thinking to myself, how many times have I disqualified myself to see incredible things because a setting was unideal? But the gospel comes to Lydia. Now, that's the place. Look, normally I've got points and stuff. It's not here today because I feel I've got a message on my heart, okay, a word. So follow me. I'm going to land it at the end. The person, Lydia, is a seller of purple goods. She is a businesswoman and she's probably rich, because purple dye was very expensive. And we also hear her saying, "Hey, I'd be happy to have you at my home." She had a home she was fond of, she could invite you to, and she's in business selling purple goods. Interesting, she's a worshiper of God. Now, what that language says, she's not a Jew. Okay, so she's probably a Gentile that reads the Hebrew Bible, and she looks into who is this God. And as she has read it, she is still seeking. She's at the prayer meeting because she's not in the lineage of Abraham, but everything about God's blossoming She wants to know. She's there outside the gate in an unideal place by the river praying. Wanting to know, wanting to understand. Now, how does the gospel reach a person like that? It said that she paid attention to what was said. She was open to engage with the messengers or the words or the word of the apostles. Okay, very important. Now, they might have had a conversation that could sound like this because Lydia, as a worshiper of God, was looking into the Old Testament scripture. She would know it. And so Paul could have asked, hey, Lydia, okay, just tell me, what do you know? What do you understand? And she could have said something like this. You know, there was this man, Abraham. And you know, he couldn't have a son, but God sent him a son, Isaac. And God made a promise through this son to the world. And I remember that. And then there was this man, Moses, who led this nation, Israel, out of captivity. On that night when they killed the lamb. And they put the blood on the doorpost, and there was an angel. Killed every firstborn son if there was no blood. And then, wow. And then they moved and the oceans opened up. And there was also sacrifices. She would know this from the Hebrew scripture. There's sacrifices that could atone for people's sin. I've read it. I understand that there's something there. And Paul, because she paid attention and she was open, okay? Not everyone is. She listened to what he said. And we know his gospel because we can read about it. So he would have said something like this. You know, Lydia, the son and the God that the Hebrew scriptures dreams about, he came. You remember that commotion that went down there on Calvary? You remember that? And the people shouted, and Pilate washed his hands. It was crazy. And she would have said, I've heard. Yeah, they said he was the king of the Jews. He's the one. Now, you must understand, Lydia, that God promised a son, and he sent a son to Abraham, but he sent his son to the world. Can you see that, Lydia? And you know, Lydia, they had to kill these lambs and wash the doorposts in Egypt to go out. Let me tell you what, his blood washed on a cross. And if you believe on him, it washes your heart, Lydia. And then God also passes your sin over, transfers it to him. You get this? And we know that she got it. You know why? She got baptized. Because she listened. And she paid attention. And maybe she said, but you know what, Paul? You tell me about this wonderful person, but I'm not like him. I'm a Gentile. And I've messed up many times in my life. And you tell me about this man that died. And then he could say, but you know what? He lives in your stead. It's not about your righteousness. It's about his. If you put your faith in him, there's forgiveness of sin. Now, and here's the caricature, because we're not all the same. But sometimes, when I say religious, I mean people looking into the Christian faith that might not be there. There's also godly, don't get lost in the definition. If you are a Christian, you're also religion, and good and pure religion follows the Lord, looks after orphans and widows. But hear me, sometimes you have people that's religious in works, but it's not yet in the heart. Okay, just allow me, that's religious for now. They look in. They know about Moses. They know about Abraham. Hulle ken die stories van die Ou Testament, ma en pa het gelees, but it hasn't happened yet to them. Are you with me? But because there's a framework, if they listen well, if they listen well about who Jesus is and what he had done, their heart opens up. There is a framework. There's a mist that lifts up from some of these concepts they've heard about upon the preaching of the gospel. And what happens is God moves in your eye from someone you're a little bit afraid of, only you try and please, to someone you actually love and adore when you hear about His love for you. God was a mountain you should climb to. Lydia, she's looking in, she's going to the prayer meeting, but she hasn't heard the gospel. God is a mountain you must work your way to, but now you hear, no, Jesus died on a hill, and He loves you as you are, and then from there He sends you. You don't have to fight your way to Him. You're embraced and loved, and then you are sent. You see, the gospel changes the viewpoint of the religious person. And for me, it worked like this. I'm going to get to the different character now. And a lot of you sitting here, a lot of us that came from traditional churches had this moment. Okay. I understood something wrong. But when I heard the gospel, something moved in my heart and it changed. How does the gospel effectively come to the religious person? Because they've known and understand some things, they need to understand what is accurate about Jesus. And they move to salvation. Are you with me this morning? Okay. Now, I'm leaving some things in the air, but I'm going to land it in the end. Follow. Let's go on. That's how they engage. And this would be similar to what Jesus did to Nicodemus. You know, I know you understand these concepts. Let me go on. When they go to the synagogues, when they engage Jews who had the Old Testament Bible, they would not go in power only. They will go in word of truth. Let us help you. Okay. Now, let's go on. Now, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. Different story. Different story. She followed Paul and us, crying out. Now Lydia comes in. She's a businesswoman. She probably has a notebook. She's got a home. She's like, okay, there's my purple stuff. And like, she's organized. Here, we've got a distressed person. She's all over the place. She's the opposite of Lydia. And she's shouting in the street. She doesn't have it together. And then the demon gets cast out by Paul. And so the question we need to look at, what Scripture is trying to show us, how does the gospel go to the oppressed? How does the gospel open the heart of the oppressed, of those who's being tormented, those who, maybe you're not walking the streets and crying out, but maybe it's happening in your heart. You're like, and if you're honest about it, you won't write it on your Facebook feed, but you often think, I'm not holding this together. Like, in my heart, I'm that woman. Like, it feels like I'm shouting. I need help. But how does the gospel meet her? Before I get into this, also read with me this. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Can you see? People are different. The gospel is one thing, but people are different. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart. I tell you what, a good discussion does not work there. You go to that man and say, you know, you heard about Abraham's son Isaac. What? You know, he's in a different place. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying and cutting himself with stones. And I'm just fast forwarding. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon possessed, because Jesus chased the demon out, okay? He said, come out of the man. The man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. We don't get this part of the slave girl's story. We know the demon was cast out. That's why I'm going to this man. We don't know. We can't say what happened to her. But with this man, he was running, screaming, shouting, distressed. Something happened on his heart. I'm going to get to that. And now he wants to remain with Jesus. Can you see that he changed? Then Jesus says, now listen, now I've got a different plan for you. Go to your people and tell them. And he went away and he began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. That man's life changed. Are you with me? Now, how does the gospel come to a person like this? It's very important. Firstly, I want to say that the gospel is not saying that it's the wealthier people that are religious and the poorer people that can be distressed or tormented. It's not the point. The point is that Lydia, with her religion, had a measure of outward control that concealed her inward lack. Okay? The lady with her business, she was looking into the scriptures, she's got that together, she's got a business, she's got a home. There's some kind of outward order, but there's still an inner lack. She doesn't have him in here. Now, when you come to a distressed person, they often, they don't have the inside in order, but also not the outside. Okay, in this case, quite extreme, running among the tombs or shouting in the streets. Sometimes we get knocked in a way that we lose it on the inside and the outside are falling apart. I am not functioning here. I'm not getting up. My marriage is falling apart. My family is falling apart. Things are falling apart around here. Okay, I'm in need of help. Now, sometimes that might look like a, sound like a bad situation. Sometimes it's great because you've got nothing to conceal the fact that you need Christ with. And so often the gospel comes in quicker. Okay? Now, what happens with these people? Lydia was reached in a discourse. But the slave girl, she's reached with power. Come out of her. And the demon departs. So too of the man in the tombs. What is needed there is the power of the Lord to move on that person. Okay? And you hear these stories of people that will say, I walked into a church, and they will, that's why you ask people their testimony. Some people say, I came to understand. Some people would say, I walked into that church, and you know what? Something struck me. And I've never been there. I don't know those people. But when I walked in there, my heart started to burn in me. But the burn was of the kind that I wanted more. And so I didn't run out. I sat down. And you know, when I walked out of that church later that day, I knew I met him. That person still needs to understand the gospel, but how it opened the heart was with power. Are you with me? Some people would say, you know what, I didn't want to be there, I felt uncomfortable. And then they started to sing, and it was like there was angels. I've been at concerts, I've been everywhere, but in that little church, when they sang, everything around me changed. The power of the Lord. And someone else might be standing there thinking about what time they can bride. But it was an appointment for that person. And so how does the gospel open hearts? You know what? In quite different ways. Sometimes in understanding, it got broken open to me. I want to be baptized. Now I understand. And other times, it's a powerful hand that just lifts you up and out. Are you with me this morning? And you know what? The apostles could do both. And they were equally comfortable in going into the synagogues. Let us talk. Let us have a conversation. Oh, you see that? We see that. And then as they go to the next synagogue, wow, there's power on the streets. Sometimes it works like this with the power gifts or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You get a word of knowledge for a person and your heart just burns. That person comes into church and you know, oh, Lord, why are you highlighting this person to me? Some of the people here that enjoys praying and part of intercession and your ears tend to be open. And you go to that person and you share what's on your heart and they say, oh my hat, I thought no one knew. You know what? He loves you. And he knows you, that's why. And then a life change. But you take a word of knowledge to a religious person, they say, who told you that? They're not always open. You see, we're different, okay? And I think with Janae, a friend of hers took her to a mountain and prayed for her. And she would go back to that experience often, say, everything's changed. I experienced the Lord. For me, I wanted to know. I wanted to understand. And it was like 2 months before she met the Lord. I met the Lord. For me, I could put everything in their box and I could understand. For her, the Lord rushed in on her when her friend prayed with her on the mountain. We're all different. And so the gospel comes in different ways. I need to wrap up. We spoke in the office this week about wrapping up earlier. Now, what about you? Okay, this is, and I've got a word in here for us. How would Lydia and the slave girl experience our church? Because maybe you could put yourself, no one wants to say I'm a slave girl because I'm not running and shouting in the streets, but you know what I mean. You know if it was the power of God that reached you. Okay? The way you met the Lord will make a dent to your heart and you will always be biased towards that. That's why some people will always say in the very same service, the worship was too short. How can the worship be so short? And then someone else would come, no, I can't worship that long. There's no way. Because the one is leaning into the worship, that's where the power of God moves, and the one is leaning into the word, where we have a conversation with truth and we pack our boxes. But what should we do? Both. Both. You see, Lydia needs to be saved, more of the nitty-gritties to understand, but now she needs to make a peace with it that some of her friends might need a prophetic word from her. You need to lean in, Lydia. Okay? In Gekerk, traditional church, sometimes we've got a framework when the mist lifts, we understand things and we go for the Lord. We must now become worshipers. Okay? And be comfortable with worship, maybe going a little bit longer. And stuff happening in worship, someone bringing a tongue, Ankyum Andris Vidayo, ne? Will always keep us in the power. Make feel uncomfortable. Settle in. You're going to have to settle in. You see, we can not only reach Lydia, and we can not only reach a slave girl. Some churches, there's barely evidence of the word of God. It's like crumbs. It is worship. It is prophetic words. It is praying for healing, going home. Next week, worship, prophetic. You cannot only be there for the slave girl. You're not going to reach Lydia. Are you with me? What are we after? The simple gospel for all people. And I feel this is a word for us. So put yourself in a box and tell yourself, I'll be open to grow more in that area or in that area. I think it's important for us. Now there's a great hope, and I'm finishing off with this. Two hopes in this. The first is a hope to grow in humility. It doesn't sound like a great hope. It's a hope to grow in humility because it's important to remember it's not about Werner, it's not about Jock, it's not about Lisa. Not about Linda, not about Heine. It's actually not about us. It is about God. And so I need to depart from the stuff I like and engage with that which He likes. Are you with me? But there's a great hope because the gospel is just like that. The grace of God will always find a person just like you. You might say, I'm not like those, but that's no problem for God. That's no problem. Yeah, but I come from, and I was then in India. That's no problem. You see, the gospel might be simple, but it reached all kinds of people. And when we come together, we need to take that simple gospel and open it wide. Are you with me this morning? I'm going to finish off with this. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you are new around here, you are welcome. You are welcome. Father, this morning, what a privilege. In our limitation, we can say God is great. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you saved both Lydia and the man in the tombs. They're so far apart, somewhere in between their salvation for each one of us. Just want to thank you for that, Lord. We're so thankful. This morning, while you're sitting in your chair, will you just thank you, thank God, say thank you, Jesus, for saving a person as sinful as me. You must be able to say that. The only requirement for me to be saved is to be actually a sinner and know it and confess it. And then say, Lord, will you help me to also have the ability to share the gospel with people that might be different from me? And if you have petty offenses like I do, won't you confess them right now and say, Lord, I'm sorry for wanting things the way I like. Help me to go after things you like and your ways. I depart from my way in order to engage with your way. So how does the gospel save? In weird and wonderful ways. Amen, everyone. You are welcome to grab a coffee. It was awesome to have you. Grab a coffee and grab a burger. Coffee's for free. You're going to have to pay for the burger. God bless you.